If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 8. Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter number 8. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy upon us. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to give everyone an idea of what you're speaking of here. What it was like to live in the time of Christ and how we need to apply that to us. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher. Speak through me, Lord. I don't care if anybody even sees that I'm here as long as they hear from you. Let it be your words this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're coming to the time of Advent. So what I wanted to do this morning, I'm kind of give away. I probably shouldn't do this as a no-no in preaching. I'm going to give away where I'm going. See, we're coming up to Advent. We're celebrating the time that Christ comes into the world. The light of the world is here with us. But you know, before Christ came, there was darkness. I think so many of us have seen the movies of Jesus of Nazareth or something along those lines. We've seen the idea of Jesus walking through Jerusalem. And we know that Jerusalem was a bustling city. We know that the temple was profound. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They even said that as you mounted the hill, you would see the gleam of the temple before you would see anything else. We know that when Jesus came, that Jerusalem was a city that was full of commerce. We know that people came from all over the known world to celebrate the feasts in Jerusalem, Passover and Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. We see the movies and we think, well, you know, this was a nice place to be. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But how does God describe the time that Jesus came into? Look at Isaiah chapter 8, starting in verse 22. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea of the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. People who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You probably recognize that verse from our Christmas passages. So how does God describe the time that Jesus came into the world? Darkness. Gloom. We need to understand that the time Jesus came was not a bright time in Israel. Jesus didn't walk into a time when it was all good and all happy. In fact, the last the last prophet of the Old Testament was Malachi. There was around 400 years between Malachi and when John the Baptist came on the scene. 400 years without a voice. If you look at the Old Testament from Moses all the way up through Malachi, there was virtually always a prophet. There was almost always, save just maybe a few places here and there, there was always somebody declaring the word of God, going up to the kings or who would be a priest who would say, this is the word of God, this is what God is saying. And oftentimes it was, hey, look, guys, you messed up, come back. Or if you don't stop, this is what's going to happen to you. But there was always a prophet. And all of a sudden, there was silence. At the time of Malachi, you may remember this, the Persian Empire, or the Medo-Persian Empire, was reigning. Came at this at the scene of, right at the end of Daniel's life. Not too long after the Medo-Persians, there was a great warrior that came and named Alexander the Great. He conquered everything that he came inside of. Everywhere he went, he conquered. And the rise of the Grecian Empire. There's a story in it. It's kind of a, I don't know how accurate it is. You can find it in Josephus tells the story of Alexander the Great, and he came into the land of Israel. And when the armies were coming in, the priests, there was an older priest there, and he had read Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, it talks about Alexander the Great. In fact, a lot of people think the book of Daniel was written very, very late because it was so very accurate of exactly what was going to take place all the way from the Babylonian Empire all the way up through when Jesus was going to come into the world. I mean, accurate to the T. So the priest and several priests went out dressed in white garments, and they walked out towards the incoming army of Alexander the Great. Alexander himself went out from the army and went up to the priests. And he said, I saw in a dream a man in white, an older man in white, coming out to see me. He said, I had to see what you wanted. What the priest did is he opened the scroll of Daniel and he showed him exactly where he was in this book. And after that, Alexander, he blessed him. And he, although Israel came in that empire, the land of Judea came in that empire, they didn't destroy it. He went someplace else. Like I said, I don't know how true all of that is, but this is part of the time in between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the New Testament. So during the Persian Empire, Jews were able to pretty well worship as they wanted, but as it started getting further down after Alexander the Great, his kingdom was split up into four places, four different rulers, and it came that Israel got under bad rule. Antiochus Epiphanes was an awful ruler. In fact, he sacrificed a pig on the altar. And Israel was in a dark, dark time. Even as they come down to Herod the Great. If you remember, Herod from the story in the New Testament. And you think, well, Herod, he was terrible. You might not know how terrible Herod was. Herod had 10, he killed one of his own wives. I'm sorry, let me actually read this. He had one of his wives executed, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, multiple sons. He was an Edomian, which means he was a half-breed. He wasn't actually Jewish, so he wasn't a son of David. He wasn't supposed to be ruling. He had multiple wives. He had 10 of them. Caesar himself said, I would rather be a pig in Herod's household than one of his sons. He was so worried about somebody taking the throne from him. It was at this time that Jesus came into the world. No prophet, no voice. A time when they had a ruler that was not even Jewish, who was a despicable, awful man. And it was at this time Jesus came into the world. In fact, if you look in, you don't have to go there, John chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The time when Jesus came into the world was a dark time. By the way, what is darkness? You're like, well, that's easy, Pastor. It's the absence of light. But really, darkness in the entire Bible symbolizes a lot more than the absence of light. If you look in Genesis 1, what you have is the darkness covering the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the earth. And then God said, let there be light. Where'd the light come from? God. The sun, the moon hadn't been made yet. Light came before the sun was ever made. But darkness symbolizes so much more. The darkness that covered the earth was a symbol of the chaos that was there. It was a symbol of God's presence not being, his rule and his government not being there yet. Darkness is a tool that God uses. Darkness is a tool that God uses to bring about glory for himself. As you look through the entire Bible, what you see is darkness oftentimes symbolizes a fear. But oftentimes you see that darkness follows after God. That God, when the Israelites were at the Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming hot on their tail, God put darkness in between them and a fire. The plagues of Egypt, it was dark over Egypt. Darkness is the It's not just the absence of God, but it's something that God uses that oftentimes brings fear, it brings chaos into a situation that he will ultimately bring to his glory. And in this time in Israel, it was dark. The Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years. Between Malachi and John the Baptist was 400 years. See, what had happened is the Israelites were in their own land, but they were a slave. They were a slave in their own land because they were a slave in the darkness. They had a religion, but their religion wasn't right. They didn't have the relationship that went with it. They had a temple, but the temple was just beautiful. When they built the second temple, when the Israelites came back from captivity, they never had the Ark of the Covenant. God's God's presence was never really a part of the temple. And when Herod rebuilt it, it wasn't there either. They had a form of religion, but they didn't have the relationship with God. They were in darkness. They were slaves. When Jesus entered on the scene, he came to bring light. Is there something in your heart that's dark today? You see, we can come to church. We can meet in a beautiful building. It's going to get even prettier here in just a little while when we put the wreaths up and the garland and the Christmas tree, the lights. We can celebrate Thanksgiving and all gather around a table and say a prayer. We can come and sing songs. You know, the Jews did all that. They came to the temple, they worshiped, they sacrificed, they sang. The Pharisees were very, very strict about following every letter of the law, and yet God says they are in darkness. They're in darkness. It's not about what you do. It's about the relationship that you have. And Jesus has come to get rid of the darkness. He's come as the light to bring freedom to the captives. Let me ask once again, is there any darkness in your heart, in your life? Is there an area that you're still a slave? You see, the Israelites were in their own land and they were slaves. We can be here in a church and still be slaves. That's not what God's best is for us. What Jesus wants for us is to be free. He wants to set us free from every sin, every captivity in our hearts. If there's a sin that you just can't get over, maybe there's a hurt that you can't get beyond. Maybe there's a pain. Somebody or something that happened in your past that you just cannot forgive. Those are all chains that need to be broken. What the message of Jesus coming is that he has come to bring light into a dark world. Each one of us has some, well, I hope you don't, but it's very possible most of us have some darkness in our hearts. Something in our lives that just keeps us held back, keeps us chained. What you're going to see is that Jesus has come to break every chain, to shed the light. And when the light comes in, as you know, I know all of you have been in the dark and taken a flashlight out, and it dispels the darkness. And as Jesus comes in, if you'll let him, the darkness will disappear. But you have to let him do it. Let's just take a moment. I'd like to pray in just a minute, but I want everybody to just bow their heads and let's take some time to deal with the Lord. Let the Lord deal with our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come now. I pray that you will reveal to every person here if they have some sort of darkness in their heart, in their life. Maybe it's a past sin that needs to be forgiven. Maybe it is a grudge that they've not been able to get over, Lord. Maybe it is a sin that just keeps entangling them that they can never get free of. Past relationship. A memory. A financial deal that didn't work. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. As you've shown every person these things in their lives, come and show them Jesus. The only way to be free is to say yes to Jesus. The only way to be free is to say yes to him, to let him do the work. Lord, I pray right now for every person here that if you need the Lord to do something in your life. If you've got something that he's been working on you, dealing with you about right now, just do this. Just put your hands over your heart. And I'm going to ask the Lord to start to take care of that for you. Lord, I pray right now for every person that has responded and put their hand on their heart, Lord, I ask that you would now begin to work in their lives. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would set them free. Let the chains begin to drop off even right now. Lord, for those past hurts, let them be healed. Lord, for the sins that could keep entangling them, Lord, break the bonds of sin and death right now. Lord, for those who need to say yes to you and say, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus, wherever you go, Lord, I pray that they will say yes right now. Lord, for those who... Lord, for those who have memories in the past that just they can't get over, can't get beyond it, it always keeps creeping up, Lord, I pray that you'll heal those memories, even right now. Lord, I speak a blessing over each person here this morning. I speak a blessing and healing, deliverance. For your glory, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.